You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Okay, church, you ready for this? Yes, we're in our Bibles right now. We're in Book of Philippians. We're going through a series to start the year. Focus on who? Focus on Jesus. And last week, we were talking about learning to trust. That has been some of the themes. You've heard about that quite a bit as we start, and we're talking about learning to trust God. Trending on some social media, or we tried to anyway, but I want to just re-quote this line. I want you to think through. If you can trust Jesus with your death, you can trust Jesus with your life. Think that through. Jesus Christ answers that question and he comes through. So if you trust him with your death, trust him with your life. We put these sticky notes out there just as spiritual exercise to help us be reminded and walk in that. And we wrote down, I will trust God. Last week I started out with a rather strong introduction potentially. I walked out here and I said, listen, can you receive this? Can you receive this word from the Lord? And it was, you die. And today, here's the strong word to start, you live. Through Jesus Christ, you actually live. And so now we're going to talk about the past and putting things in the past. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And we're going to look at a series of verses here in the text. But just to start before we pray, Paul's going to say this. He says, I am sure of this. Church, I want you to underline that, know it, and highlight it. For the scripture says, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak to us and that you'd come and fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we, Lord God, would walk in the fullness and glorify you. Be glorified, Lord God. Come now in this very moment of our lives and take it. Capture it, move inside us, and take us to that very place you need us to be. God, open our ears and our hearts to hear from you now, for we love you. We thank you that you are loving us even now. Speak the truth, and speak the truth to us in love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Again, say it out loud with me. Amen, amen. Amen. Okay, so about the past. Here's what I want you to know about the past. Here's what I want you to know about the past. Hopefully it's been a good past. Hopefully you have a testimony of many good things. Hopefully you can speak about many great things that have happened in your life, wonderful things that have happened in your life. And some of us, and enough of us have, lived long enough to say, but there's also some loss. There's also some pain. There's also some bad, either of our own hand, our own initiation, or things that are bad that have happened to us. So whether it's good or whether it's bad, here's what you need to do. You need to put the past behind you. That's what you need to write down. That's what you need to know. Maybe we have new sticky notes for this, but that's what you need to do. If it's been good, you still need to put the past behind you. If it's been bad, you still need to put the past behind you. Now, as I talk about this, I want you to know that part of this subject matter is I sense for so long our church and so many other churches are confused by teaching that trends with people that I would normally respect. But on this subject matter, I just think, what are you talking about? For there's a teaching out there that says you never look in the past. You never consider the past. It's in the past. Well, really? So listen, I didn't grow up here. As many of you know, I grew up down in Los Angeles. And on the 405 freeway down in Los Angeles are some of the tightest interchanges in all of the world. When you, if you just care to kind of, you know, kill some time or whatever, and you just go, oh, hey, you know, busiest intersections in the whole world. The 405 and several exchanges and several on-ramps and that are actually some of the busiest ones in the entire world. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes you're on the 405, and you know, sometimes you're on the 405, and you probably, you guys are better than me. You know, I'm sure you are. You're trying to go the speed limit. And so, but you can't. You can't go the speed limit because everybody else is really going 75, 80 or more. And the problem is that everyone is 5 or 6 feet away from you. And so now you're on the 405, and you're being forced to go 70, 75, 80. And so you're going really fast, and you're within feet of one another, and you start looking around, and you go, nobody can do anything bad. Everyone here is a good driver. Everyone's going to obey all the laws and do what they need. But then you have to get to your destination. You're going to get to your destination, and you have to get there. And so you have to get in another lane. What do you need to do? You need to look in that rearview mirror, and you need to just glance and look around you. And then you get in that lane. And you change lanes until you get to your destination. This verse says something. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God has a destination for you. So in the journey of your life, you're going to need to change some lanes. That's part of your growth pattern. And you would be fools and foolish to do that without looking around, without taking some inventory, and without being observant as to all the things that God has been doing in your life. I want you to go, as an example here, as we pursue this subject matter, to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Where Paul is going to give the definition of the Christian life. He's going to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he's going to really ponder this because he's going to say, well, maybe I need to stay in the body and maybe I need to not. He's going to say, if I live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. It is always better. But, as he's writing here, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. So convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. It all starts with him saying, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. Going on now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. This is the end of a glorious section, but just going to take a few verses here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Where again, Scripture says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to return to that in a few moments. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, as we survey the book here in short order. The scripture says here, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings. Can't run past that. Becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. And then going on further, not that I have already obtained this, I am already perfect, but I press on and make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me my own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So these are a few of those verses that sort of set the panorama of what it means to put the past behind you. And Paul's in an interesting place with this church. He has an interesting history. I'll give you some reference here. So it's Acts chapter 15. And in Acts chapter 15, just by way of reference, the apostle Paul is thinking, I want to go to Asia and tell them all about Jesus. And so he prays, and he's ready to go to Asia to tell them about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to go to Greece, to Europe. And Paul says, let's see, Holy Spirit telling me to go to Europe and Holy Spirit telling me to go to Asia, I go to Asia. That's what he does. Holy Spirit's telling him to go there. He goes, no, I don't think so. I'm going to Asia. And so he's trying to go to Asia. He's trying to resist the Holy Spirit. He's trying to be disobedient to the Holy Spirit. So finally, as you and I and take courage in this story, God says, okay, Paul, so you're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit, right? He goes, no, I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to Asia. He goes, no, I want you to go to Europe. So now in a dream, Paul sees a man from Macedonia. If you don't know your map or much of your history, just know that this is northern Greece, the northern part of Greece. That's Macedonia. And he sees in a vision very clearly a guy waving at him and say, hey, tell me about Jesus. And Paul finally goes, okay, great. You're going to send me a vision? Really? Okay, great. So, sure. And then it's funny because the Bible literally says, and so he concluded. Really? Really? Because he'd been hitting you pretty good with the Holy Spirit. Hey, go to Europe. And it's no, I give. Can you relate? That's the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 15. So he goes to Europe. He finally obeys. He finally goes there, and he meets a woman named Lydia. And it's down by the riverside, it's called. And there's some Jews there. There's very, very few Jews there. And they are worshiping. And he goes and preaches Jesus. And this woman gets lit with the Holy Spirit. And she says, you've got to come. And she's really a businesswoman, very successful in her day. And they begin to network the gospel through her. And so from there, we get into Acts chapter 16, where she gets saved, this woman named Lydia. Okay, so now think about this. He's following the Lord Jesus. He preaches the gospel. This woman gets saved. He goes, oh, that's great. Can I go back to Asia? No. Then he's walking, and there's this demonized girl there, right? So it doesn't tell us what a demonized girl looks like, Acts chapter 16, by way of reference. Just says that there's a demonized girl. And finally, he gets sick of her, and he just, lets this demon out of this person, and everybody hates him because they were making money off of this girl. He's like, really? I mean, I can't believe this. Don't you understand? This girl was demonized. But that's the way it was for them. And so because of that, they physically beat him. They get these rods out, no trial, what we would call due process, none of that, and they put him up on a block, and they just start whacking at him. What did I do to deserve this? What did I do to deserve this? I was trying to go to Asia, God. I was like, really, I didn't really want to be here. Ever felt that in your life? I didn't ask for this. I didn't want to be in this circumstance. I was actually trying to avoid these mean, nasty, wicked people who don't like Jews. And don't like Christians. But now I'm here and I'm being beaten for it, and now he's in jail. Now the amazing thing is he's not bitter about this, because now he's in jail. And it says there in Acts chapter 16, rather famously, it says that they decided to worship God while he's in the stocks. And so they're locked up, and he decides to just start worshiping Jesus. He starts singing praise and worship songs. And he just starts praising him. And then God goes, yeah, I had a plan all along. And he sends an earthquake. And this earthquake comes, and the chains come off. And the jailer thinks that something's wrong. He's about to kill himself. He goes, don't kill yourself. Everybody in your house is going to get saved. And everyone in your house does get saved. And Paul goes on in the ministry. Everything I just told you, Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 16, and then Acts chapter 17, is the backstory of what's going on right here. And like the Apostle Paul, you have to put the past behind you. You have to put it behind you. You have today and tomorrow, but not yesterday. And so first and foremost, put the past behind you. Second thing that you need to do is an exercise of putting the past behind you is to see God in it. When you look at your past, you have to see God in it. And so let me just review these verses for you. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, what the Bible is saying there is that God can handle your business. Do you have business? Yes, you do. Do you have a life? Yes, you do. And what he's saying, I can carry it to completion. God is saying, I can handle your life. I can handle every problem in your life. I can handle every disappointment in your life. I can handle every single circumstance in your life. I can handle your physical needs, your emotional needs, your spiritual needs, your social needs, anything that you need, I can handle it. You know what you got to do? You got to give it to me. If you put it in my hands, I can take care of it. If you keep it in your hands, then they will simply be in your hands, and it will be the circumstance and consequences of your hands. So God can handle your business. That's what he's saying in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, as Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ, die is gain, and he wonders about eternity in the rest of the text. What I want you to understand, what I want you to write down, is that God uses eternal math. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. God uses eternal math. So you know math. So math is, physics. I don't know how many people of you can do physics in the room. And math is calculus. That's another form of math. And then there's geometry. That's still another form of math. God uses eternal math. And the way that you work through math is that you have a formula. And then the formula, set up correctly, gives you the outcome. All of you in school had math teachers, and that was the case. You didn't set the math up correctly or the formula up correctly, and so you got the answer that was wrong. You set the formula up correctly, you worked the formula correctly, you get the right answer. God has eternal math, which means whatever's going on in your life, you give it to me, and I work it out all the way to eternity. That eternity is the great equalizer. Eternity in heaven is the great change. And so I have this eternal math that I want to count everything by. And so you look at your problems today like I do, and I'm sure if they actually are problems, they hurt. And if they're good days, then you just rejoice in it. And the truth is, God has eternal math. And that's the perspective by which you look at everything. So God uses this eternal math. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, I want to camp here for just a moment. This is this section that says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here's what I want you to understand. This is what this is saying. God came for you. Yes? Yes, God came for you. And Jesus Christ is God. How do you know that you have value? How do you know that you have worth? Well, it depends upon what somebody wants to pay for it. So God in heaven, he had to get you. There had to be a blood sacrifice to remove guilt and shame from you, the debt against your life. And so God looks at you and he looks at Jesus. And so what he does is he says, I'm going to make an exchange. I am willing to sacrifice Jesus to get you. God traded Jesus for you. That's how you know the worth. So you want to know what you're worth? God is worth sacrificing himself. And he's willing to trade himself out to get you. He's sparing nothing. And that's what these verses are saying as we talk about putting the past behind us and seeing God in it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, the reference is that God is simply always there. God is always there. He's there in that hospital room. He's there at every zero in your bank account that's not supposed to be there. He's there in the weak, in the most terrible of moments. God is always, always there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, God has a call on your life. He has a call actually on your life. Every single person who is a born-again Christian has a divine purpose in their life, and God has a call on your life. So you're sitting here, and there's a whole reason of why God has you. Now, about the past, it's not just the things we've spoken of, but you have to learn from it. In other words, you're going to see God in it, but you actually have to learn from the past. Psalm 119, I'm going to read this to you, verse 67, says the following. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Before I was afflicted. Does anybody here want to raise their hand and say, oh, I'm signing up for affliction. Sign me up. I'm sure that if we had a sign up of a clipboard here and I said, look at it, I want you guys all to sign up for affliction. I think, you guys not only would shoot me, but you also would not sign up for affliction. Who's going to sign up for affliction? Before I was afflicted, Psalm 119, verse 67, I went astray. but now I keep your word. So you have to learn from the past. You have to see God as in part of the past. For those he foreknew, Romans 8:29 says, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, Romans 8:29. So you have to say, okay, learning from the past, learning from, what is God doing? God is redeeming and changing you. That's what's going on. He's redeeming and he's changing you. That is what's going on in your life. So when you look at these circumstances, it's not that you look at the past, for example, and say, oh, well, God is the cause of that. God is never the cause of evil. The Bible clearly says that God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. And so God is not the cause of evil. He's the redeemer of evil, in fact. He's the redeemer of all this pain that can come upon you. But you have to see and learn from the things around you. I think few things have ever caused my faith to grow more than teaching teenagers how to drive. Have you ever taught a teenager how to drive? Yeah, go. That'll increase your faith greatly. That'll increase your faith. So what's fascinating is when you do this, you know, you're the parent, and what's important is that you understand that you have to redeem all the moments, all the errant drivings, you know, all of a sudden I slam on the pedal and like, why are we going 100 miles an hour and, you know, slow down and look to the left and all these things. What you actually have to do with that teenager is you have to redeem their emotions. They're going to feel insecure. They're going to be excited or underexcited. And they're going to tend to feel guilty or feel bad or feel unable or ill-equipped. And it doesn't matter if they have all this bravado and they think they can do it. You know, the truth of the matter is they're making mistakes and you got to figure out a way to help them. So you have to redeem. You have to say words of life. You have to speak words of life. And at the same moment, you have to help them to learn. When you put the car in reverse, look behind you. I don't care if there's this great screen there. I don't care if that screen can look from here to Hawaii and back. I don't care if it has little holograph people walking around, you know. I don't really even care if it is strong enough to tell you about zombies coming. You have to look. You got to look to your right, and you got to look to your left, and you got to look behind you. You have to see for yourself. You have to learn from this experience. And you have to grow in your intuition of how to react to this. And so what was God doing in your past? He was redeeming it. That's what he was doing in the past. And he was changing you. Romans 8:29 declares that you are to be conformed into the image of the Son. And so he's actually changing you, and he's making you to be more like Jesus. So these circumstances in your life, positive, negative, joyful, you know, joy unbelievable, difficult, sometimes even tragic, God nonetheless redeems that, and he's going to make you more like Jesus, resilient, and through all of this, able to glorify him. Let's talk for a moment, because it's kind of easy when we talk about put the past behind you. Even though some people get stuck with success, there are some people there that when we talk about put the past behind you, they have some great moments, they have some real highs in their life, and they actually get stuck with that. And so both positive and negative, both good and bad and success and failure sometimes get people stuck. Mainly it's when things are difficult. Let's talk about trials. Why do you have trials, and why do you have to look at your life and put trials behind you? First, trials, again, are to conform you. They're actually to change you and to conform you. Second, they're to bring God glory by showing his strength in your weakness. So you have to realize that there are trials in your life are partly when you look at circumstances and you put them in God's hands. God says, I got them. But part of this is what I'm going to redeem, because I never made you strong enough to carry this, but I'm going to do it. And what we do now before God ever finishes his work is we give him glory and praise. And so I look at the future of my life and I give God glory and praise, because you know what? He's going to work it out. Right now. So whatever Pastor Rick Soto is facing in his personal life or his ministerial life, or whatever the case is, right now, give him glory. Why? Because he is going to work it out because he promised. Right now, you look at the future of your life. You look at the plans of your life. You look at your health. You look at all the other things that you have, and you give him glory right now, ahead of time, because he's going to work it out. He's going to be there for you. So trials are to conform you to the image of God. Trials, secondly, are to bring God glory by showing his strength through your weakness. Third, trials are to equip you to serve others. Listen, church, I want you to get this. You got to get this. Trials are to conform you. Trials are to bring God glory, and trials are to equip you to serve others. You are not going to be able to be helpful to other people if you've not lived life in God's grace. Not really the way God would want. I mean, I think about all the things that I now say to people and don't say to people that I used to do the opposite when I was much younger and of a different age. As a much younger and enthusiastic pastor, I would certainly go to a hospital, you know, and say certain things. And I don't know how it all went or whatever, but I look back and I go, oh, I think I went too far on that. But you know what's funny is now I've had surgeries, I've been hospitalized on occasion, I've lived life, I've overcome some health challenges, and so now I'll go to a hospital and it's a totally different reaction. I remember one time just being with some weird flu bug and dehydration. I couldn't keep anything down. I was in a bad place, and so my doctor put me in the hospital. And I can remember waking up with one eye going boop, and there was one of my bros praying for me, just praying, like for hours. He was holding my hand, and he just sat there and read the Bible to me. And he just prayed for me. It wasn't the time for great advice. It wasn't the time for preaching. It wasn't the time to put the podcast in. Here, it wasn't even the time for worship music, as nice as that would be. It was a time for another person to be with another person and just hold on. What's fascinating is that was the beginning of me learning to do that in a moment like that. No answers, although there's, you know, there is truth and there's truth in love, but there's sometimes the moment to just be and to hold on. And so when you've lived through some circumstances, when you've lived through those kind of difficulties, when you've seen God overcome them, you begin to become equipped to serve others. And what's fascinating, when you've really been there, I used to think beforehand, oh, God's gonna rescue me from so much darkness, and I'm just gonna give my testimony all over the place. Oh, there's some of that, kind of like we even had today. But in the heat of the moment when you were somebody, you know what you say nothing. Except God loves you, and I love you, and I'm here. And if you'll allow me to be here, we'll walk through it. And I'll be your friend today and tomorrow and the day after. I'm here. We're just going to hang on together. You don't even need to pray. I'm going to pray. You don't even have faith. I'm going to have faith for you. And as you get everything back recovering, then your faith will kick in. But I'm here for you. I'm just here for you. I don't have all the answers. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to say. We'll listen to all the other experts out there. I'm here. See, the equipping of that is because you went through a trial and you learned. Because you looked around. And you looked forward as well, as we're going to talk about in a moment. But you let these trials conform you. And you brought God glory in it. And you let God be glorified in it. And you let God equip you to serve others. These are these trials. And so put the past behind you and see God in it and learn from it. And fourth, now, this is exciting, towards the future, put the past behind you. Listen, part of the reason why you put the past behind you, fourth now, is because you have today. Today, you have present blessings to capture. Today, right now, and tomorrow. You have present and future blessings to capture. Do you want to squander those things? Yes or no? The answer is no. I want them all, right? I want them all. I want all the blessings that God has. If God wants to bless me today, then what my response is? Like, okay, bless me. You want to pour it on thick? Pour it on thick. You want to give me a double dose of the Holy Ghost? Give it to me. You know, you want gold to fall on me? Great, do it. You want to make me so happy that I'm silly and nobody can even tolerate me socially? Then great, make me that happy. I mean, if you want to bless me today, then do it. Yeah? It's looking forward. And so part of why we put the past behind us is because we can't grab that unless we exercise some of these spiritual disciplines. Now, let me tell you about present and future blessings. I'm going to give you a phrase, and I want you to know this, because as I take people through this, putting the past behind you, a lot of people just nod. Yeah, okay, Pastor, sure. Oh, put the past behind me. Okay, but you haven't done it. And they go, okay, see God in it. See God in it, sure. And then learn from it. Okay, sure, learn from it. All that's passive. Listen, put the past behind you, see God in it, learn from it, expect future and present blessings, and know this thing that I'm about to tell you right now. God does not falter when men fail. God does not falter when men fail. Have people around you failed and failed you? Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure it has. God didn't falter, and he still doesn't. Have other people let you down? Other circumstances let you down? Are you getting sued by every single person around planet Earth because you own a successful business and you have a few things going well and there's all these lawsuits on you and everyone's on you? Do you have health issues or whatever the case? Did you go to a doctor? He gave you bad advice and then all of a sudden now you have these health challenges? Whatever the drama is, when men fail, God does not falter. Such good news. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. I quoted 29. I'm going to give you verse 28. And I want to read this slow. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that for those who love," say it out loud, "God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." First point on that, it doesn't say everything's good. In other words, some of the bad things that have happened to you, it's not declaring those are good, those are bad. It just says that God can redeem things and bring them together and do something in your life that you can actually declare, I didn't see that coming, that was good. It doesn't say those bad things are good. It's very, very, very bad teaching I've heard in the past on that. We know that for those who love God, we know for those that love God, put the past behind you. If you're not a born-again Christian, it's really difficult to do. The promise I just read is because you want to follow Jesus. And if you want to follow Jesus, that is a beautiful declaration that God will bring over you. That the past, all kinds of failures, all kinds of negative things that have happened, I understand them personally on my own story. You have your own story. That if we follow Jesus, we give our lives to Jesus, this verse, Romans 8, 28, begins to become completely effective. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those called according to his purpose. It does not apply to those who are outside the family of God. It applies to those inside. But it is an invitation of anybody on the outside to come in. And so I believe that this morning, as well as others, days during the week, many are on the fence. Can I ask you this morning to get off the fence? Here's how you get off the fence with God. You repent. Repenting is actually a military word of ancient days where a commander looked at a soldier and told him to turn around. And they turned around and they went a different direction. That's the word and the basis of the word the Bible uses for repent. Secondly, to be born again. That is to allow God to give you a new life. That is actually to die to yourself and to live for God, to allow God to come in and baptize you fresh. Third, to make Jesus Christ your Lord, not just president of your life. We have presidents in our lives, and we vote them out of office. So to make Jesus Lord is to not vote him out of office. Fourth, to declare these things publicly and to actually do it right now. Jesus made a very strong proclamation. He says, if you want to follow me, you acknowledge me before other people, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. You don't acknowledge me before people, I won't acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. It's one of the most clear promises that he made. And one of the distinctions of being a Christian is being joyful and being willing to say, you know what, I am a follower of Jesus Christ because he has so removed shame and guilt and sin from my life that I joyfully follow him and I'll tell anybody about it and declare it in any way. So this morning, some of you, you've heard all of these things, you've been in church, and you need to come and free yourself of your past in a whole new way. Some of you, this might be something brand new. And so I want to invite you to come forward and do that. So here's what we're going to do, church. I'm actually going to ask those of you who want to put the past behind you, and you want prayer over this, but you want to put the past behind you, and you want to put the past behind you by declaring Jesus Christ in your life. I want to ask you right now, really bold. This is bold, bold stuff. I want to ask you right now to get out of your seat and join me right here. I'm going to pray about putting the past behind you and Jesus Christ coming to your life a new way. Get out of your seat and come down here. Look at these guys running down here right now. Come on, my brother. Come on, my brother. Great. Man, I'm super stoked for you. I'm super stoked for you. Give me your hand. I'm really glad. I'm really glad you're here. Okay, this is not the only ones. You want to put the past behind you? Come down here right now. Get out of your seat. Come down here right now. I know you're at a place. Some of you guys are Christians. Some of you are not. Depends where you're at. But come down here right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love you. Love you. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're here. Some of my prayer friends would come up. Okay, you want to put the past behind you? Come up here. You want to put the past behind you? Come up here right now. You want to put the past behind you? Come up here right now. There you go. There you go. There you go. You want to put the past behind you? Bold move, guys. Bold move. Bold move. Bold move. You want to put the past behind you? Come up right now. Come up right now. Come up right now. I know that Jesus is going to do this in your life. He's going to help you put the past behind you and give you a new life. Anybody else, you want to put the past behind you? Right here, right now, you want to put the past behind you. We're going to pray, and these people are seeing God do beautiful things in their life. Anybody else, you want to put the past behind you? Okay, then here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray over you guys right now, and then I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer, and then my friends that are right next to you are going to pray more with you. Okay, I'm going to start by praying, Lord Jesus, I pray now for a supernatural work to be in these people's lives as they have boldly come out from the crowd, God, and as they have boldly come out from the crowd, it's because you know them by name, and you know their hurts and their sorrows. You know the things that have captured their lives, and you are now going to free them from the things in the past, give them a new life full of all kinds of blessings. God, you're going to give them new disciplines, new mental thoughts. You're going to give them new habits, Lord God. You're going to give them new friends. You're going to give them new relationships. You're going to do miracles in their lives. And so I seal now this born again and supernatural work. I seal it now. And I pray now over all of you. I keep hearing that there's shame and guilt, and I remove shame and guilt from you. I remove sinful habits and patterns. I remove all doubt and fear in Jesus' name. And so my friends that are coming here, open your hands like this. It's just an act of vulnerability to God. And I'm gonna ask you to repeat a simple prayer with me. And I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit inspire some of these words. And so I want you to pray out loud with me. Lord Jesus, I repent. I repent of sin. I repent of doubt. I repent of fear. I take you now as my Savior, as my Lord, as my God. Take my life, all of my life, this day and every day. Make me a good person, a new person. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, that I may be filled. Jesus, I receive your love. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, I receive your grace. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? Yes. Stand up with me. Okay, don't go anywhere, guys. Okay, I just want my friends here to turn around. They're going to have some special prayer for you. You're going to love it, right? And I'm really proud of you. I'm so proud of every single one of you. And God is on the move. He is on the move in your life. He's on the move, okay? Man, this is really, really awesome. And so be blessed in Jesus' name. Go always and do great things. Amen? If some of you guys, my team's a little thrown off this morning. If you can help me with these things, getting set up and all that's great. But I want to pray over these people right now and to have others pray over them. Okay, thank you. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.